Good morning. Today is Friday, February the 10th. Joining us this morning is Humble Bay Fire Chief Bill Gillespie.
Hey, dude. Morning. Hey, morning, Brian.
Do you ever project yourself if you were a chief in the Northeast?
It'd be a lot colder.
Well, yeah. I was here. They were talking yesterday, 2 to 3 inches of snow an hour.
Yeah.
I'm thinking for big rigs.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you're going to slip and slide. You chain up? What do you do?
It's a whole different industry back there. It's a different ballgame back there, you know, and, you know, packed snow, ice, all of it. You see, in the snow areas, a lot of the fire engines, transit buses and school buses, they run the automatic chains. They flip a switch. They're air operated or hydraulic operated, and they'll flip chains underneath the wheels. They continue to spin as the wheels are going. Yeah, I don't know how well they work.
That's cool.
We haven't had to use them here, but
so you could.
We've got tire
set of chains.
Yeah, we've got tire chains for the engines. We sent one of the Wildland engines, the four wheel drive engine, up onto Neyland around the start of the year for the traffic collision that was up there, and unfortunately one person died in the collision, but Cal Fire and Humboldt Bay Fire responded with Neyland Fire, and surprisingly, the four-wheel drive engine did pretty well in 6 to 8 inches of snow. Did better than pickups did. It's a lot heavier.
That's cool. It's also frightening that you paid for it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Our quote this morning comes from Frederick von Schiller. There is no such thing as chance, and that which seems to us to be blind accident actually stems from the deepest source of all.
There you go.
Yes.
Something to ponder.
Yeah. So you guys kind of had an oddball week.
Yeah.
Let's start with the bodies on the bay.
Okay.
I know that you guys tend to be a responding agency for that,
right,
too.
Right.
You found a floater.
Right. There was one out on the bay. You know, in fact, with the one on the bay, I was tied up down at McCullen's and Broadway, so I briefly heard the dispatch, but then wasn't tied in with the call. Typically, we go out and we'll help EPD and, you know, try and...
You got the boat.
Well, if it's floating and we can't get to it from shore, you know, we'll get Harbor District to come out and help or the Sheriff's Department.
That's right, the Marine Post.
Exactly. Yeah. And then if it's, you know, if the body's found on the shore, the edge of the shore, we'll help with the recovery to get them back to, basically get them back to dry ground where the coroner can take over.
When there's a call, when there's a dead body, do you guys get involved automatically? Routinely, I guess?
Typically, if it's something in our jurisdiction, if it's a body call and it's unknown circumstances, you know, a body in the bay, there's a lot of times we'll get called to come help as manpower.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Not as insightful.
Right. If it's an obvious, then we're probably not running a medical aid, but we're helping with the recovery.
It's 8:19. Yeah.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Bill Gillespie. Billy, obviously this week is going to be more memorable. and it seems like we have, and I don't know if this is the decade fire.
We talked about that in the past with the old brewery
and Globe Imports, and this was not of that magnitude,
right,
but certainly but more
still,
visible.
It was visible, and it was a large fire. You know, you've got a commercial occupancy, and... You know, when we got there, heavy smoke showing, we tried to get to the seat of the fire to try and put it out. fairly fast, went through one portion of the roof, and said, we can't catch it this way, pull it out, we're going defensive. It's not at a point we're going to get somebody hurt underneath a roof collapse.
So did it move that quickly, or is it because it was an older structure, dry wood, et cetera?
I think one of the big pieces is that you know, with all the merchandise inside, that's part of it. But I think potentially the fire may have been burning for a while before we were early morning, not a lot of traffic. From what I'd heard, you know, a passing law enforcement officer saw smoke coming from the building and called it in. And, you know, we responded, toned out around 20 after 5. And by the time the first units were on scene, we had heavy smoke pushing from the building.
So
it was building fast.
Well, you know, there's a lot of flammable inside a grocery store.
There is. All that merchandise packaging.
I just had a weird thought. You know, when you guys do your press releases,
mm-hmm.
I think a lot of the area knows it as Pete's Market still.
Right. They do.
To include some of the, you know, if mm-hmm. it's a multiple tenant
right.
location
it's
historically.
Been, it's changed names.
So people could get, oh, that, right. it's Pete's
well,
Market.
Well, and I saw
okay.
that on or, Facebook, you know. Some of our community associates it with El Pueblo, at which it's been for a number of years. A lot of the community had posts and some old photos of Pete's Market. They referenced Pete's Cave, the bar that was there off
well,
of Broadway.
I mean, you guys used to respond. I don't mm-hmm. know. Yeah, it was probably during your tenure. The fights and the stabbings. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like a weekly occurrence.
Oh yeah.
And now I guess it just kind of slips into history, which mm-hmm. is probably not a bad thing. But you see some of those, and it's, I think, a little confusing because people mm-hmm. have their circles, and maybe somebody who grew up in Eureka
right.
and now lives in McKinleyville and doesn't go to that part of Eureka regularly.
They don't frequent anymore, yeah.
But they certainly know what it is. And
Right, from the time that they were there with it.
Yeah. So you had a significant event
right.
in a small structure compared to some of the others,
mm-hmm.
but you also had the U.S. Highway there to complicate life.
Yes, we did. We, you know, it was interesting. We tried as long as we could not to reach across the highway for a hydrant. There's hydrants on both sides of Broadway. It hit a point rapidly with the escalation of the fire. We did stretch hose lines across Broadway to the hydrant there at Broadway and McCullen's, and at that point, hard closure on north and southbound Highway 101.
When you can't detour through the cemetery, that would be
no.
tacky at least.
Yeah, okay. And so, you know.
So was there a diversion at Herrick?
they diverted northbound at Herrick. I did hear there were a few traffic collisions on Herrick or in the golf course area and up onto F Street.
Speed?
A combination of just a lot of drivers, people trying to get through, and so, you know, we were able to work with EPD and with CHP and Caltrans, and we hit a point that we were able to, as the different vehicles were doing their thing, you know, fighting the fire, we did hit a point probably about 2 hours in, we were able to pull that hose line back. And we reconfigured where a couple of vehicles were for the later part of the fire. And that way then we could open one northbound, one southbound. We still had complications with that. We had a couple of different drivers that they're in the coned lane in traffic control, and they zipped into the center lane, and they're bebopping down the road past everybody. Problem was, that was where people were working, and we about had one person hit, one of the fire personnel.
So in that kind of a scenario, you know, you're not going to draw and shoot tires.
Right.
What do you do?
You know, fortunately, the part of the crews were able to get, in the case of one of the vehicles, got the driver stopped before he got to the next run of fire engines and fire hose. So he didn't run over that, and we lose that now, too. It stopped him. We did bring EPD in. I went back to working on the fire part. They went through and assessed him. And later on, we had a confused driver that did similar, but didn't go quite that far. He stopped at the first person.
Confused as in, uh-oh.
What's that?
And stopped?
Yeah.
And didn't compound
it's like,
anything?
You got to get into the traffic lane. We stopped traffic. He moved over and went on his way. Yeah. But it's that thing, you know, you've got traffic going, and we were cognizant to it, because at one point, talking to a CHP officer, said right now it's backed up to College of the Redwoods northbound. And
that would be normal.
That's about
for that
right.
Time in
yeah.
The morning. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, we worked with Caltrans and EPD in the afternoon so that we could get before the commute. We had the full roadway open. We still had units down there, but the full roadway was open.
You were able to just kind of park them on the
side. Yeah, we were able to bring them into the parking lots around it.
Yeah, that's I would think that's almost a science by itself.
It's challenging when you're anytime you're on the highway, you're on Broadway, a major thoroughfare. It's a big concern with the operation.
It's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humboldt Bay Fire Chief Bill Gillespie. Talk Shop presented by Redick and by CDH Painting. Hey, you're over a year in the saddle now, aren't you?
Yep. Here I am, still going.
Just kind of flashing that one, yeah.
Yeah. Little grayer.
Gee, imagine that. Now, when you had the fire on the waterfront, mm-hmm. we kind of talked that maybe that was the one for this decade.
Right.
Okay. Now we got.
Now
this
we got
one.
Another one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are there? I know it sounds goofy because one's on the highway, one's on the water.
Right.
One was industrial. One was commercial.
Right.
One was unoccupied. Well,
supposed to
one
be.
One was not a going business concern.
Right. Right. It's supposed
and
to
one
be vacant.
Was.
Mm-hmm.
Are they that unrelated?
You know, right now we're trying to chase it down to see what we can find. The one on waterfront, we had a lot of had reports of witnesses seeing a lot of transient activity, a lot of transients leaving that night when that fire happened, scurrying out of the building and away from the building. But, you know, at that point, with so much damage, we couldn't definitively say, yes, this was the cause. And then if we could say, okay, transient, or we suspect transient, now which one? Because there were so many folks that were coming and going from that location. You know, in regards to down on Broadway, excuse me, we're looking at all the different angles right now. We're looking at video.
Fresh.
It's still pretty fresh. Our investigator, he recognized right off the bat, I'm going to need help. Called for an arson task force call out, which is they work all different types of fires. So we brought some resources in from other departments to assist.
That's a local arson?
It is.
It's outside.
Okay. Yeah, it's the Humboldt County Fire Arson Investigation Unit. And it runs underneath the offices of the county district attorney. And it's been going since, I want to say, in the late 70s or early 80s. And various agencies from around the country, we've always been involved with it, to where a fire agency someplace else in the county says, I've got this fire, we've sat on it, we've held the scene, but we don't have anybody that knows investigation. They can call for help, and somebody, you know, folks from a couple of different agencies will go there and assist them with the investigation.
So
and
were they used in Fortuna?
On that one, like
for the hotel?
For the hotel, I think they were able, to, for the most part, to cover that part. But like the butane lab in Riedel a few months ago. We ended up with a couple of our folks down to assist with that.
So these guys come out pretty regularly.
Exactly. You know, we've all up and down through the county to help. You know, Arcata's a member of it, Cal Fire, a number of the law enforcement agencies. And then we work, in this case, it's within the city of Eureka. We work in conjunction with Eureka Police Department and their detective bureau as well. And so right now they're looking at video. They're looking at that information because we're done at the scene. But now we've got to look at all of the other evidence that's potentially out there.
Until that investigation sifts through whatever it sifts through, do the remnants stay there? I mean, is that going to be an ugly thing for 2 or 3 weeks, 2 or 3 months?
Hopefully shorter rather than longer. I know typically the insurance company will send an independent investigator out to look at it for cause also, for them to be able to...
Oh, they won't take your word?
Yeah, you know. No, they'll on a loss like this, they'll send out an investigator also. With the ice and cold storage, we were able to talk to them and tell them this is the area that we think, and unfortunately, it's a pile. So in that case, I don't believe they sent somebody to the location, yeah, okay. But they were able to get the information, and we told them.
So you guys kind of work hand in hand.
Exactly. I mean, literally in that case, we walked the insurance agent that was out of the area through, based on the aerial view from Google Maps. Here's the area. Here's what's gone, and you know, technology.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So they could see it, kind of.
They could visualize it, yeah, and determine whether they were going to send somebody into town. I talked to the insurance company for El Pueblo Market, and they've got an insurance investigation company that they're going to send somebody in and take a look at
by boat.
The way it's been raining, possibly.
KINS News and Information Times 8:41. We'll be back with more from Bill Gillespie.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS News and Information Times 8:45. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Bill Gillespie. Billy, we've shared an awful lot, mm-hmm, off air in the last few months, years, about some of the history of,
yeah,
of the area, of the departments, of that, mm-hmm, kind of stuff. You got a really cool thing tomorrow, and well, I was kind of beating you up during the break. You didn't give us enough lead time to run some ads for you, but. What's the event?
We've got a dedication that's going on at the J Street Fire Station. They're the 1700 block of J Street here in Eureka.
You mean by the high school on J,
right,
Street?
Right, right down from the high school.
Pete's Market, man.
Yeah.
Basic for some,
exactly,
of us here.
You know, it's Native Sons of the Golden West are doing they have an annual meeting in the Redwoods where a lot of their higher ranking officials within the organization are here. And they do dedications for historical buildings. And this year, they requested to be able to do a dedication, present a bronze plaque for Fire Station 6. It's the old Sequoia number 6 that lots of people grew up with. And, of course, it's been closed since the 1950s, since about 58. But it's continued to stand there. And so that's occurring tomorrow at 11 a.m. And we're gonna have some of our personnel there. We'll have the dedication, and then we'll have personnel that, if people want to be able to look at some of the old antique equipment, we'll be able to take folks around through the station, and they can see what this station that was built at the turn of the previous century looked like.
Probably on the edge of town too.
At the time, it wasn't too far from the edge of town.
There was no school there.
No, no. And typically, the stations, as time went on, as the community grew, they moved farther out. You
Isn't that the argument for cutting?
Well, you know, there you go.
Sorry, man.
Oh, that's okay. You know, I mean these stations, and it's interesting because the station on J Street and the station at California and Sonoma, now it's a daycare facility, but you can still see the lines of a fire station. They were built for basically $1,260 and $1,265 in materials and labor was the cost. One was more expensive because they had to use a freight wagon to haul the lumber farther.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, but it'll be opened up tomorrow at 11 for the dedication ceremony, and if folks want to come by and get a tour, see what a turn of the last century fire station looked like, that'd be the opportunity.
Is it still a fire station? Looking, I mean, you walk inside, you go, oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can still see the living quarters, obviously, upstairs. They don't have the beds there anymore. That's gone for quite some time. But you can see the overall layout with, you walk downstairs, and I mean, there's still a coal room from when there was a steamer there. You can see the layout, and there's a lot of equipment that we have stored there. We've got a hand pumper that was built in about 1849.
So did that live in that station?
You know, it bounced around through the different locations. And we were the second owners of it. It saw service before we had it as Eureka. You know, Eureka's had an incorporated fire department since, in fact, we're coming up on February 16th, 1864 was when the fire department was recognized for Eureka.
So what's that, 153?
It's been here a while.
That stuff is so cool. So it starts at 11, runs through the afternoon.
Yeah, it starts at 11. We'll be there for probably an hour, 2 hours with it. So it's not, you know, it's a narrow window, but it's an opportunity. If folks want to stop by, the weather's supposed to be nice. Fingers crossed.
Very cool stuff. And yeah. That's Del Norton J, just down a little bit.
Just down. You'll see us all there.
Thanks for coming by, man.
You
Have
bet.
Fun tomorrow.
Hey, you bet.
See everybody on Monday.